Good morning. Welcome to The First Take. Thank you for being with us. Of course, that's Stephen A. Smith. I'm Molly Cameron. We have a lot happening today, Stephen
A. Yes, we do.
We got two Super Bowl champs, Teddy Bruschi, Keyshawn Johnson standing by, along with Adam Schefter. We're going to start with all the Aaron Rodgers stuff, but Jay Will's also going to be here because we're going to dive into all the John Morant stuff as well. So let's get right to it.
Let's do
it. You good?
I'm good.
All right. Well, that's all I care about. You know where we're starting. So sometimes you have to go through the darkness to see the light. That light is in East Rutherford, New Jersey, playing for the New York Jets, where Aaron said he intends to play. Here's more with that bad man and his boy, Pat McAfee.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get for me and kind of digging their heels in. You know, like, it is what it is. The Packers would like to move on. They've let me know that in so many words. They've let other people know that in direct words. And because I still have that fire and I want to play and I would like to play in New York, it's just a matter of, you know, getting that done at this point.
Aaron Rodgers has won four NFL MVP awards. That's four more than any Jets quarterback has won while on the squad. New York has only had one All-Pro quarterback in its history. That, of course, Joe Namath in 1968, the same season as the franchise's lone Super Bowl. Right now, I want to bring in the one and only Adam Schefter, who I feel like hasn't slept because I've been watching you on TV.
It
feels
way.
Like, no, you look great, but feels like I've been watching you on TV the last 24 hours on every single show. So anyway, with that being said, Adam, tell me this. Where are we in this process right now with Aaron?
Well, I don't believe that we're close to the Jets and Packers reaching agreement on compensation right now. But, Molly, that could change so quickly. And there is no reason that these two sides couldn't get a deal done. We heard Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show yesterday imploring the Packers to do the right thing. And that's the question. What obligation, what loyalty do they have to a player who now wants to play for the Jets, who wants to move on, who wants to go elsewhere? He obviously wants to preserve as many of the Jets' assets as they can have, being that he plans to play quarterback for them. He doesn't want to see the Jets give away a first-round draft pick or more compensation. He wants the Jets to hold on to those picks so that his team, his new team, can have the best players for him if and when he does get there, which is the expectation. So this is the type of thing that could heat up just like that. But it also could linger for a week or even a month. There's no motivation for the Packers to have to move any quicker than they do. And so we will continue to await. But Aaron Rodgers has made it very clear. He wants to play in New York. The two sides are divorcing. His time in Green Bay is over. Now the question is, how soon can Green Bay and the New York Jets work out a trade agreement?
If I remember correctly, Adam Schefter, thank you for being on the show this morning, sir. If I remember correctly, I heard Aaron Rodgers say that he was contemplating retirement until he learned that the Green Bay Packers probably wanted to part ways with him. Okay, so that means this man was actually going to choose to retire rather than return to the Green Bay Packers. It's clear that a divorce is imminent. We all understand that. Could you crystallize for us the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, because I think there needs to be a level of understanding as to what the holdup is. Aaron Rodgers wants out. They want him out. We know they got to get as much compensation as they possibly can get in order to pull this off. But I do think that because of the relationship that exists between the two, there are people out there thinking that Green Bay is holding up the process on purpose. What can you tell us, the audience, about Aaron Rodgers' relationship with the Green Bay Packers?
Listen, he did a very good job of explaining it all from his perspective yesterday on the Pat McAfee show. But to try to fill in some of the blanks and add a little bit of color, essentially from the moment they drafted Jordan Love to be his successor, you could see that that relationship went a different direction. He himself admits that. And it's one of these situations that's not unlike a couple that you see married that goes through ups and downs. And there was a down period there 2 years ago where he clearly spent the offseason trying to get out. And it surfaced on draft day that he wanted to move on. And there were questions then about whether he would continue his career in Green Bay all the way up until the weekend that he actually did show up and did return to Green Bay. The problems went away for a little while. He was a back-to-back two-time MVP during the pandemic, during the COVID era. And he obviously showed he could still play. I think it surprised Green Bay because they didn't realize he was going to play at that level when they drafted Jordan Love. When you draft someone's successor, the clock starts running. And the clock started running on his time in Green Bay and their relationship. And he held that as a chip on his shoulder. And there were times where they were happy the last couple of years because he played so well, because they were winning, because they had a chance to go to the Super Bowl, though they didn't capitalize on that. And so Aaron Rodgers, according to him yesterday, said he was planning on retiring after this season. He was 90% sure that was going to happen. And when we saw him walk off the field after that Sunday night loss against the Detroit Lions in the regular season finale, and we saw Jameson Williams, the Lions wide receiver, come over and ask for his jersey and him saying, no, I'm going to keep this one, that's because he was planning to walk away from the game. But after that happened, he did hear the idea that the Packers were interested and open in trading him. He did hear that the Packers had other discussions. And we've heard Aaron Rodgers talk about the way that he felt the Packers were treating other players in that organization. And now he doesn't want to be treated that way. He wants to dictate where he goes, how he goes, how much his former team gives up for him. The Packers are running a business, a football team. They want to extract maximum value, fair value from the New York Jets for arguably, as he himself describes, the greatest player in Packers franchise history. And so that really is it, Stephen A. There's been a relationship here for a couple of years that has had ups and downs, has been strained. Obviously, it goes back, I think, a lot to the Jordan Love pick. And they've been waiting to divorce. They are divorcing, and the Jets are in the middle of that divorce right now.
What is the last question, real quick answer here, Adam? What is the definition of fair compensation for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it depends if you're asking the Green Bay Packers or the New York Jets. If you're asking the Green Bay Packers, I think it would include a first-round draft pick. If you're asking the New York Jets, it would not. So it's up to them to figure out what's fair and what's not.
Got it. Okay.
Right. Adam. Thank you so much. Appreciate all the context there and all the background. All right, now I want to bring in Teddy Bruschi and Keyshawn Johnson. Hi, guys. Good morning.
What's up?
Good morning, Molly.
How you doing?
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
You ready to talk a little Aaron Rodgers?
Sure.
Let's do it. And I'm going to start with you here, Stephen A. What do you think? I mean, obviously, you asked fair compensation. What do you think the Packers should demand in return?
Absolutely a first-round pick. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the game still. You know, at age, at least one. As far as I'm concerned, if you listen, let me call this what it is, and I got my man Teddy and Keyshawn here. Let me be very, very clear. If you had to give up two first-round picks to get Aaron Rodgers, I think you should do it if you're the New York Jets. I will remind everybody, this is not just about the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, okay? All right? It's not just about that. It's about the perpetual futility of the New York Jets. They haven't won a Super Bowl since 1968. They haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1968. They've been to four conference championship games since that time, 82 with Gastineau and Klecko and them, and 98, I think, with Parcells and my man right there, Key, in the house. And then you had Rex Ryan, 2009, 2010, and that's about it. By the way, since 2010, not only have they not been in the Super Bowl, obviously, since then, they ain't been in the playoffs. New York Jets haven't been in the playoffs since 2010. So when you are that futile, when you are that inept, when you are that moribund as a franchise for years, for decades, I mean, spanning over 50 years, desperate times call for desperate measures. Now, this isn't a Deshaun Watson situation. The only reason I bring him up is because the last time the Cleveland Browns won was when Jim Brown was playing, which is why they gave Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And if you're the New York Jets, you got Aaron Rodgers, who's a bad brother, still saying, I want out. I want to be in New York with the Jets. By the way, these are some of the people I wouldn't mind having. I'm not, according to Aaron Rodgers, I'm not mandating it. I'm not insisting it. But I'd like to have the Mercedes Lewis, 17 years in the league, only a 700-yard season. I'd like to have Randall Cobb, only 1,000-yard season in 12 years. I'd like to have Alan Lazard, his first 5 years in the NFL, not one single wide receiver, 1,000-yard season. But I'd like to have those guys. And they got them. So it is clear they want him. It is clear he wants to be there. So to me, as far as I'm concerned, if it takes, I would say one, but if it requires two first-round picks, damn it, give it to him.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that, Stephen A. I'm sorry. Why would I give you? Well, one, I got an aging quarterback that can still play. But I also got a quarterback that has 1 foot in, 1 foot out. He may retire next year. He wants to play this year for the New York Jets. So why would I give up a first-round pick, let alone two, to get a guy that may decide to do something different come January 2024? I'm not going to mortgage off that much of my future for Aaron Rodgers, as great as he is, as great as he's been. Especially that we know, and you know we know, and we know you know, that he does not want to, nor is he going back to Green Bay. You also know that you owe him about $59 million a year cap, and you've already committed to Jordan Love as your quarterback, and you're going to pick up his fifth-year option in May. So now you got about $80 million that'll be tied to that quarterback room with the third-string guy and the fourth-string guy that you're going to have in training camp, along with Aaron Rodgers, if you don't move him sooner rather than later. So if I'm the New York Jets, I might give you a 2 and a 3 and maybe a 4 or a 4 and a 5 and a 2 somewhere in the middle rounds. But I'm certainly not giving you two first round picks, nor am I giving you a first round pick for a guy that you don't want and a guy that don't want to be there. This isn't Matthew Stafford, Stephen A. This isn't Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions, where the Detroit Lions say, we love you so much, we're going to help you get to a landing spot where you can ultimately win a championship. And the Rams say, okay, we got Jared Goff, who can be your quarterback in the next 4 years, plus we got a couple first-round picks because you want to do right by the quarterback. This is a totally different situation. And Aaron Rodgers, if this was Aaron Rodgers 6 years ago, yeah, I'd give up 4 first-round picks for him. But this is Aaron Rodgers today. He's a guy who just told you he was 90% sure he was going to retire. Now, whether or not that was true or not, we know how you like money and everything. You know, you ain't giving up $60 million, right? Ain't nobody going to do that, as you would say, Stephen. Ain't no way in the world you going to sell me you was retiring and losing $90 million. It ain't not going to happen.
Not going
to. But at the end of the day, you're not giving up that type of compensation. This is why they're butting heads right now. You're not going to take him back, and he doesn't want to go back. So the best thing that the Packers can do is get what they can get.
All right, Teddy.
And move on.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of those things key, but the Packers have time, and they don't have to be in a
yes,
hurry.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
They don't have to be in a hurry, because even if they wait a little bit further past the June 1st deadline, they get a little even more cap relief if they let go of Aaron Rodgers past then, and they continue to irritate Aaron Rodgers the longer that they wait, which I think they take a little bit of joy in. If I'm a player for the Green Bay Packers, what I saw on that McAfee podcast was Aaron Rodgers, my quarterback, forever, saying, I want to play for the New York Jets. So I look at that and I think to myself, we at least better get 13. And 13, I believe, is where the New York Jets pick, and that is a first-round pick. And
we better
get that.
Yes.
Because
I'll deal with you in a second, Keyshawn.
What can we use to help my team right now in this locker room? Do right
There's
by Aaron
no
Rodgers. Listen, we gotta get 13, and that's what we gotta do. I don't know if I gotta call a GM or anything
Never
like that.
Mind.
I'm a linebacker. Get me a defensive lineman, get me a defensive player on a pass rushing unit that don't rank 27th in getting sacks. We need players. We need number 13.
Teddy and Keyshawn, I'm glad y'all got y'all both, y'all brilliant football minds on this show because, and champions, by the way, you know what I'm saying? I love this because, you see, it's moments like this when I look at my brother Keyshawn, Teddy, and I'm like, my brother, what is the matter with this man? Let me tell you something right now. We got a GM in Joe Douglas. Now, granted, they missed the boat on drafting Zach Wilson. Let's just call it what it is. They missed that one.
Yeah.
But they did draft the defensive rookie of the year and Sauce Gardner. They did draft the offensive rookie of the year, Garrett Wilson. You got Breece Hall. What I'm saying is you got a boatload of picks. What I got is a situation in Aaron Rodgers. The alternative was Zach Wilson or Matt White at the time. I mean, stop it. You're desperate, okay? And listen, and I just watched Chicago get, what is it? Two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and a player for the number one overall pick. But a brother that's been in the league for 18 years, that's got four league MVPs, that's a bad man still. And I'm going to sweat the 13th overall pick? You tripping, yes. Keyshawn. You tripping. Well, I mean, Stephen, it don't make no sense.
Stephen A.,
you got to do
it. You're asking me, as the general manager, president of this football team, to give up the 13th pick in the draft
for Aaron Rodgers.
For a guy that may only play 17 games for me.
You mentioned Chicago
in the Carolina Panthers trade.
Okay.
That individual that Carolina's going to get might be playing for Carolina 10-plus years.
Or he might be a scrub. He might be Zach Wilson.
I know I got him beyond 17 games.
It don't matter. Keyshawn,
I don't have to give it to you.
Wait a minute,
not taking him back.
You're not taking Aaron Rodgers back. Okay, but you know what? You're not taking him back. But guess what? Ain't nothing stopping them. The bottom line is Jets got to do business with Green Bay. They got us right.
Why do I have to do it right now? Why do they have to do it? Are you going to tell me because he's going to miss OTAs and he's going to miss training camp and all? Are you getting ready to try to convince me? Because guess what? You mentioned it. His boys, right? Lazar and
They all know what they can do?
They can go to the mountains during the offseason, and they can install themselves and throw the ball around and do all of that. They can do that. They don't have to be in Florham Park to do that. I'm just telling you.
So, the Jets are desperate.
Go ahead, Teddy.
They are so desperate. They want the relevancy. Aaron comes, it puts them in a championship, AFC East, at least championship conversation.
Everything both of you are saying is true, but I don't have to give up the 13th pick, Teddy, because you don't want him, and we know you don't want him, and he doesn't want to go back, and you don't want that back in your locker room hovering around Jordan Love that you just said is your quarterback of the future.
Key, come on, man. We got you. Let me ask you this question, Key, because, see, this is the problem that I really, really have with what you're saying.
Last time I checked,
Breece Hall coming back from injury, we know what kind of running back he can be.
Yes.
Garrett Wilson, we know what kind of receiver he can be.
Big time.
We look at the New York Jets, we ain't tripping over their coaching. We certainly recognize their defense as being elite. Do you not have a squad that can afford to lose the 13th overall pick to have a future Hall of Famer at quarterback?
You are not listening to me. Open up your ears, Stephen A.
I'm listening,
I'm girl. Not giving you the 13th pick for a guy that you don't want and a guy that doesn't want to be there. You understand? You're on the hook. And what Teddy said is true.
How long are you willing to wait for that? How long?
I'm going to wait all the way up into the summer if I need to.
Here's why, Teddy.
Nobody's missing anything. The season don't start till September, right? He knows the offense with Nathaniel Hackett.
That's not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
You've told me.
Aaron Rodgers knows the offense with Nathaniel Hackett.
You've told me chemistry with a quarterback and their receivers matter. If he's not there working with the team, that doesn't hurt him?
Did you not just hear me 3 minutes ago when I just said to you, Stephen A., they can go to Montana and throw the – they can go to Montana. They can do what Tom Brady did during the pandemic.
Not Garrett Wilson.
Yes, they can. Yeah. Absolutely. They can go throw with him all day long in the offseason. They can go down to Miami, to Florida, and throw.
That's the same thing
that terrific Tom Brady did during the pandemic. He got everybody together at the high school, and they throw. That's what quarterbacks do. Russell Wilson brings everybody down to San Diego, and they throw. They learn the offense. You don't have to be in New Jersey in the building.
And that's just the thing, too. We have to. Is Aaron Rodgers even willing to do that? That's the thing. He hasn't done that in the past.
Now we talk about something else, though.
Yes. I just can't believe you, Keith. I can't believe the 13th overall. I understand if you can get away with not giving it up.
All right, last words.
But to sit up there and say you can't give up the 13th overall pick for Aaron Rodgers. I don't understand, Stephen A. I really don't get it.
If you didn't have to pay for that $3,000 suit that you're wearing, would you pay for it?
He probably didn't pay for it. He probably got it for free. Let's just clear that
if
up.
I see the Packers just give out a third and a fourth and just do right by Aaron Rodgers, why should they when we're still trying to win? That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
By the way,
we're going to have much more on this.
Keyshawn's way of saying the suit is pretty fly. I mean, I get it. I appreciate
it. It is a nice suit. So it is a nice suit. And I like this.
Yeah, because
like
that thing you had on yesterday, I almost called you.
Key and Teddy. It's good.
Yeah, that thing good you had on yesterday, I almost called you, man.
What'd you have on yesterday?
Was that
the gray and white pinstripe?
Oh, yeah, the gray pinstripe with the silver shirt with the flowery tie.
You didn't like how we put it together. It wasn't the suit. It was how we put it. It was a lot for you.
I almost called you, man. Come on now.
Come on.
Glad I wore a tie.
Teddy, it's good to see you, my brother. It's good to see you, Teddy.
Hey. All right.
No. Yeah. I like the Hanes undershirt. It's a nice one. That's a nice thermal. Did you get a six-pack? Did you get a six-pack? Or did you get a 12-pack from Champs? Way to class it up on First Take.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. All right, we got serious business to deal with. Jay Williams coming out right now. Memphis Grizzlies star John Morant has been suspended 8 games. Without pay for conduct detrimental to the league, the NBA announced on Wednesday. The suspension stems from an Instagram Live video Morant posted in which he had a gun at a Denver area nightclub following a game against the Nuggets on March 3rd. After already missing 5 games, he's eligible to rejoin the Grizzlies on Monday, although won't face the Mavericks that night as he readies himself to return to game action. After the suspension was announced, he sat down with our own Jalen Rose.
It's also in the news that Adam Silver, that you met with him. What was that meeting like?
It was good. Pretty much, you know, an open discussion. Obviously, you know, he said, you know, things, you know, I need to, you know, be better at, but, you know, more of just, you know, showing his support towards me. You know, and I accepted that, and, you know, I also, you know, sent my apologies, you know, to everybody, you know, the league, you know, myself, my teammates, my family for, you know, putting that negativity towards, you know, all of us with a, you know, bad decision.
You at the spot, Shotgun Willie's, I've been there. You are holding a gun. And we both know how dangerous that can be. Whose gun were you holding?
Well, the gun wasn't mine. It's not who I am. I don't condone and, you know, any type of violence. But I take, you know, full responsibility, you know, for my actions. Made a, you know, bad mistake. And I can see the image, you know, that I painted, you know, over myself, you know, with my recent mistakes. But, you know, in the future, I'm going to show everybody who Ja really is, mm-hmm. you know, what I'm about, and, you know, change this narrative that, you know, everybody got painted over me.
Okay, Jay Will joining the conversation. And Jay, let me just say this before I kick it to you. I feel like Ja did all the right things, right? You step away, you go to a treatment center, you sit down with Jalen, someone who's dealt with fame at a very young age and was open about that. But did it feel like we hit fast forward here?
1,000,000%. That's my biggest thing, Molly.
He's already out. That was my first reaction to it.
So I agree with you. Everything that Ja has said, from his statement to even the sit down, like, I want Ja to win. And it sounds correct, right? Taking accountability,
of course,
owning it, moving it forward. But I'm like, it's been a week and a half.
Yeah.
It's been a week and a half from somebody that's been to counseling centers, from somebody that still talks to a therapist an hour a week, once a week. Like, you know, most of the time when you talk to people that are going through counseling, you don't see them check into a counseling treatment center for a week when they're dealing with anxiety and stress at a high level, when there's been a series of habits that have occurred multiple times. So for me, like, the bigger question is, I really get afraid about this for Ja. It feels like there's a pattern of Memphis enabling him to a degree for this type of behavior. And once again, I stated by saying I want Ja Morant to win more than anybody. I want to see him be successful. I want to see him be on the court.
Second chances, and you want him to come back better and stronger and get the help, all those things.
But there's like the weird timing of it. Just all of a sudden now we're just rushing the process to get back on the court because there's 12 games left in the season. And if you just win, does all this go away? And for me, this behavior is something that I really want him to be okay when it's all said and done, Stephen A. And this process, even the 8-game suspension, it's really a 2-game suspension. He's already served 6 games. So I'm not saying that the week hasn't been enough time for him to reflect, but to truly address issues of anxiety and stress, you're going to need more than a week to do that, Stephen A., with some of the past behavioral patterns I've seen from Ja Morant. And I hate to say that, but this is how I feel.
First of all, none of us up here and most decent God-fearing people are rooting for Ja Morant. Whatever his issues are, get better. Get yourself back on the court. This is an electrifying talent, a superstar in this league, a future face of the NBA. This is why Coca-Cola was doing deals. This is why Nike was on the verge of doing its deal. This is why Powerade was involved, along with a plethora of other corporations that want his signature connected to their brand. We wish him nothing but the best. I know I'm rooting for him, and I'm not going to sit up here with him at age 23 and engage in condemnation. I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm certainly not saying that you're doing that. I'm just saying I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you, I think that a lot of us, and it's unfortunate we have to go here, but we have to go here. When we saw Ja Morant at the strip club and we were waving and waving the gun, we didn't think there was anything that was bad. Please don't get me wrong. We didn't think there was anything more to it than that until the Memphis Grizzlies came out and had that. Taylor Jenkins, the head coach, was talking. Ja Morant's statement combined with Taylor Jenkins' words gave us an indication that there was something else going on. That question still has not been answered. I'm going to say it again to everybody in America. It was stupid to have yourself in a position where you're seen on camera waving a gun.
Yep.
But if that's what it was, we would have just said, it's stupid, he's probably going to get suspended, and we would have moved on. It was his statement that alluded to bigger issues, combined with Taylor Jenkins and them saying, this stuff that's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah.
That left us saying, what the hell are you talking about? What's going on? And that question was still not answered. And so what I'm saying is that the reason I bring that up is because of what you two just said.
Mm-hmm.
The fast forward. The fact that, you know, 10 days later, here we are. Like, problem solved. It's not going to happen again. That's not what we were, that's not the indication that we were given. We were given through the combination of Ja Morant's statement, along with that of Taylor Jenkins and the Memphis Grizzlies, that there was a lingering issue or lingering issues that needed to be addressed. And in that, if that's the case, you're damn right, 10 days in and out.
We don't have the full screen right now, but we highlighted there was like a myriad of events. There was never any charges that he was involved in that the team had been investigating and looking into along with the league.
Yes,
there was a few different incidents.
But they weren't just talking about the incidents. They were talking about things that we weren't privy to. In other words, there's stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
We know that Ja needs to address it, and it's good that Ja knows he needs to address it, but we've never known. Now, that may very well be none of our business, and I'm cool with that. All I'm saying is that 10 days later, to come in front of the cameras and to be like, yeah, I've addressed it. I don't know anybody who's addressed those kind of issues in 10 days.
And Stephen A., look, you and I have had some blow-ups on TV.
Sure.
You know what I appreciate about our relationship? You'll say exactly how you feel to me. I'll talk back to you. All of a sudden, boom, we're moving forward.
Exactly.
We're past it, right? Because
yes.
We can handle the hard truth sometimes.
That's right.
I'm not sure people are telling Ja the truth. Because my thing is, if you listen to somebody long enough, they'll eventually reveal who they are. With Gen Z, if you watch somebody long enough on TikTok videos or IG videos, they kind of show you who they are. And there are a series of concerning behavior that I've seen on videos for a while now, where it really makes me concerned about Ja's well-being that I think I can apply to the bigger picture that we're talking about here.
I don't think I need to add anything to that.
But as far
like, there's
as,
a reason why all that stuff is deleted now, isn't there?
Can I just say one thing?
There's
far,
a reason.
As far as you asking, like, the why, I feel like what we did get from the interview, and I'm not sure if that's the full picture, is, like, why were you there? And he said, pretty much, I'm just trying to be free, and that he was using the strip club as an escape.
Well, first of
and
all,
dealing with stress, that's why he's getting the Reiki and the breathing, because he's trying to learn better ways to deal with his stress. That's what I took away.
Okay,
from
well, first of all,
I don't know if there's more to it.
A couple of things. Jalen Rose did his job. Let's get that out the way first. Did a good job by Jalen Rose. Okay. Secondly, there's nothing illegal about the strip clubs. Now, I don't go
other
there.
Than the smell.
I don't go
for you.
Other than the smell. The point is that, damn it, I've been to strip clubs in the past. There's nothing illegal about being a strip club. A long time ago. But the point is, I've been there. I understand. We're not sitting up here condemning his choice for going to a strip club. He's 23 years old. If he wants to go to a strip club, he goes to a strip club. Nobody's advising or anything like that. But it's none of our business. The point is that he, along with the Memphis Grizzlies, gave an indication that there were more deeply rooted issues.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that ain't been answered in 10 days. That's all I'm saying.
I took it as stress, but.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's not what I took it as. And I'm not going to say anything more than that. But I'm not talking about what you hear, what you know, or whatever. I'm talking about Ja Morant's statement combined with Taylor Jenkins speaking about the issue after he was away from the team. They gave an indication it was something else. It was something more going on, rather. That's all I'm saying. It's not something you saw in 10 days.
I'll give you the final word on
that. I get thrusted into fame, thrusted into a lot of money, young, immature. I've lived it. I had an experience that happened to me because of things, right? If you're dealing from somebody that's dealt with that stuff before, You don't recover or just say, I have all the answers and I'm ready to move forward in 8 days. You don't do it. It's not possible.
Like, so in other words, it would have been better, Ja Morant, if Ja Morant had come out and was like, I still got a lot of issues.
Ongoing work in progress.
It's an ongoing work in progress. And I just got to put my head down and focus on doing what I need to do. But my issues don't just go away in 10 days. Had he said that, none of us would be saying anything.
Agreed.
We would be moving on. But trying to give us the impression, problem solved, it's a different animal. It's a different animal. I hope he's right, and I wish him luck.
And in some ways, being on the court can also be escape as well.
Absolutely.
So he says that might 1,000% help him to get back to his routine as long as you're continuing that.
But being on the court, is where the noise comes from.
There it is.
And the noise is what he's trying to escape
mm-hmm.
because he's Ja Morant, because he's so spectacular. And that's where it can become problematic as well.
23 years old, trying to figure out who he's becoming in front of everybody. You could tell those comments that he gave were a little bit more prepared, right?
Yeah.
You feel like you're not sure if that was really him. That was more what he was prepared to say.
Yeah.
He's a good brother, though.
Yes, he is.
He's a good brother.
I want him to win. 1,000%.
And the whole NBA community is going to stand up and support him. He's a good brother. He's a good young brother.
Absolutely. We're wishing the best. We'll have more on this in just a bit. We continue to celebrate Women's History Month here on First Take. Here's a message from our very own Malika Andrews. Hey, Malika.
I think, truthfully, there's too many moments to choose from, but if I had to pick just one, I think my favorite might be Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs, The Battle of the Sexes. And it was a battle for $100,000, but it was for so much more than that. It was for respect and equality and for women to be seen as capable and equal. And that is something that I think back to, that I've read a lot about, that I watch movies about, because there's so many times where we walk into a room and we're automatically assumed to be less than. And Billie Jean King, she put us on the map as equal.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. The men's college basketball tournament begins in earnest today, right after us here on ESPN. Jay Billis joining us now. Jay, I'm really excited to talk to you, okay, for multiple reasons here. But the first thing I want to discuss, I don't know if you know, I went to the University of Connecticut. I'm a big Huskies fan. And if I heard correctly, you have UConn going to the Final Four. Now, I do as well, but I'm picking with my heart. You're picking with your head. Could you please elaborate why you chose that fine university?
Well, Molly, in addition to you being an alum there, early on in the season, UConn looked every bit like the best team in the country. And they hit a rough patch right after December into January. I think UConn has everything you need in a national champion. The only question mark that some of my colleagues point out is point guard play. But Tristan Newton, who transferred in from East Carolina, he's had a triple-double this year, maybe two, but I know he's had one. And he's a really good player. But they have size, and it's not just Adama Sanogo. They bring Donovan Klingon, the 7-foot freshman, in. They've got great athleticism on the wings, led by Andre Jackson, and they can shoot it. Jordan Hawkins is one of the best shooters in the field, if not the best shooter. So I think UConn's got a great chance to advance in their bracket, and they've got a legitimate chance to win the whole thing.
Why did UConn struggle? You said they hit a rough patch. Why did they hit a rough patch, Jay? What happened?
You know, Stephen A., I'm not really sure. Sometimes teams, you know, they were rolling and beating teams pretty soundly early on. And with some teams, especially young teams, and they do have some youth, when they get beat, sometimes when a team sees its own blood, it has a little confidence issue. And I think that might have been part of it, but they figured it out. And Danny Hurley's team over the last portion of the season was really good. I mean, they lost to Marquette in the Big East tournament, but sometimes losing in your conference tournament can be a good thing. And losing's never a good thing, but getting to go home and the spotlight's off you and you get to go back to work and you don't get beat up by playing those extra games or that extra game can be helpful. Not every team that wins this thing wins their conference tournament. So I like their draw, and I like the makeup of their team.
You know, I want to transition to the Midwest for a second here because I was watching Texas. I didn't get a chance to see but so much college basketball this season with my schedule. But I watched Texas versus Kansas and pretty much have their way with them in that conference championship game. I was surprised by that at all. But as crazy as it sounds, Jay Billis, I'm rolling with Mike Woodson in Indiana to come out of the Midwest to get to the Final Four. How out of my damn mind am I picking Indiana to come out of that bracket, come out of that region, rather, and get to the Final Four?
Well, I don't think you're out of your mind, but they've got a really tough opening game with Kent State.
Yes.
And not only can Kent State beat them, I think Kent State, you know, they played really good teams, especially early on in the season. They didn't win all those games, but they played Houston to a 1 or 2 possession game. They did the same thing with Gonzaga and did the same thing with Charleston. And Charleston's an upset chance against San Diego State today. But Indiana's a very good team. They have not played as well on the road. Road neutral games, they didn't perform at as high a level as they did at Assembly Hall. That's not horribly unusual for teams. But they did perform pretty well toward the end of the season. They won a road game at Purdue, which is a really difficult place to play for anyone. Purdue's been the number one team in the country for a good portion of the season. So I like the pick. It's not what I picked in that region, but it's certainly not crazy.
All right, Jay, let's talk today. Who do you have on upset alert?
San Diego State. They're playing against Charleston, and Charleston's won 31 games on the season. And Charleston, under Pat Kelsey, who's an outstanding coach, they play a really up-tempo style, and they shoot a ton of threes. They're not, I wouldn't call them a great three-point shooting team, but it seems like somebody, whether it's Rain Smith or Ryan Larson, is always hot. I think Charleston has a great opportunity to beat San Diego State. San Diego State's not a great offensive team, but they're an outstanding defensive team. And they're going to have to try to slow the tempo, which is not easy against Charleston. But it is easier to slow a game down than speed one up. And the Mountain West needs a win. I mean, they got blasted last night. Nevada lost to Arizona State badly. And they didn't win a game in last year's tournament. So there's a little bit extra on the shoulders of the Aztecs in this one.
Everybody's been talking about in the South region. Everybody's been raving about Arizona. Obviously, they're a team that you can't ignore. I'm focused on Alabama because of Brandon Miller, this freshman at Alabama. I know that he was in the news for the wrong reasons a few weeks ago, but we know his game is his game. How are you feeling about Alabama basketball right now?
I think Alabama is the best team. And I think they've proven that, Stephen A., over the course of the season. I had Alabama a number of times calling their games and have seen just about every game they've played. And they have a unique ability to make comebacks. And they're really young. They play a lot of freshmen, including Brandon Miller. And I agree with you. He's going to be the number one college player taken in this year's NBA draft if he decides to come out. And I think it's almost certain that he will. But they were down 17 early in the second half against Houston, at Houston. And I did that game, and I was thinking at the time, you know, they're about to get blown out. This is going to go a bad direction for them. They went to a smaller lineup, and they wound up winning the game. And that doesn't happen very often to Houston. But that's not the only game that Alabama did that. They're a close-knit group, and they are tough, and they're resilient. And since Javon Quinterly went into the starting lineup, they seem to have hit another gear. But I happen to like Arizona in that region. I think that Arizona is a better offensive team than Alabama. They shoot it a little bit better, and their big guys are terrific. Their tandem of Azulis Tubelis, who runs the court better than any big guy in the country, his transition ability is second to none. And Umar Ballo, they get into this high-low stuff, and they're really difficult to beat. But Alabama's a great pick for you because they can very well win the national championship. They're truly legit.
Yeah. I picked them to win it all.
They're not just a football team.
I picked them to win it all. I got Alabama winning the national championship.
Jay Billis dropping knowledge. Thank you for the time, sir.
Appreciate
we'll talk
you,
to
bro.
You soon. Enjoy the action.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.